talk about gridlock. Iraq gets a government after 9.5 months. The wheels of democracy frozen, unstick. Dancing in the streets there in Baghdad, Gabriel Gatehouse of our partner, the BBC.
Not exactly, John. I mean, it was a pretty somber mood, actually, yesterday. Nouri al-Maliki, as he announced this new government, his cabinet, which he'd had to divide up ministerial portfolios amongst pretty much all of Iraq's competing political factions, he said he realised that nobody would be very pleased with him. On the streets, there's very much an attitude of, well, I think we'll wait and see. I mean, I think the last 9.5 months has really tarnished the reputation of this very young democracy amongst the voters here. They've seen their politicians raking in large salaries for doing very little indeed, and for not tackling the very real problems that this country faces. Now that there is a government, Nouri al-Maliki is going to have to try and govern this very unwieldy coalition that, as I said, includes all of these fractious, arguing, different elements of Iraqi society. And I think a lot of people are very sceptical that he'll be able to move them all in one direction.
Well, we're not going to wait and see. Gabriel Gatehouse of our partner, the BBC, and I will talk about whither Iraq with its new government later on in the hour. Iraq's new government, a lot like the old one, it's the second round of the post-Saddam era. On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. It's Wednesday, December 22nd, and it won't just be me having that conversation with Gabriel Gatehouse on the Iraqi government a little later on in the hour. Celeste is out for the holidays. I'm joined today by Major Carter, host of America Public Media's The Promised Land. Whither Iraq? There's a question for you.
There it is.
Let's get a check of the morning's top news stories. With a Republican filibuster broken now, the Senate is expected to ratify the new START treaty today. Tennessee Republican Lamar Alexander explained why he'll be supporting the arms reduction treaty.
I will vote to ratify the New START Treaty between the United States and Russia because it leaves our country with enough nuclear warheads to blow any attacker to kingdom come.
President Obama has just one public event on his calendar today, but it's expected to be very well attended. He'll sign the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell into law in a Department of the Interior auditorium later this morning. It's not the only bill ready for the president's signature today. The Senate has also given its final okay to a food safety bill. Pew Health Group spokesman Eric Olson says the overhaul comes in response to recent outbreaks linked to spinach, peanuts, and eggs nationwide.
Instead of chasing down contaminated food after the fact, we are going to be preventing the contamination before it gets onto grocery store shelves.
It's the biggest food safety bill in 70 years. By giving the FDA a greater authority, the bill seeks to make outbreaks of foodborne illness a thing of the past.
A long time coming.
Indeed. South Korea is preparing for yet another round of military drills, vowing to, quote, completely punish North Korea if provoked again. Large-scale joint firing drills will begin near the Korea's land border tomorrow. In the Ivory Coast, incumbent President Laurent Gbagbo has agreed to let an overseas commission review the results of the election, the first sign that he may be willing to concede power to opposition candidate Alassane Ouattara, widely seen as the rightful winner of the vote. He appeared on state television, Gbagbo did, and said he does not want any more bloodshed in his country.
I extend the hand of dialogue. I extend a hand to the opposition, to Mr. Ouattara, and to the armed rebellion that support him. I'm confident in our ability to build a nation peacefully.
Fears remain. This morning, France's government is warning its nationals in Ivory Coast to leave the country. Federal judge has ordered the U.S. government to pay more than $2.5 million in damages for wiretapping the phones of a suspected terrorist organization without a warrant. Taking a look at the markets, they're mixed. The European indices are up this morning. Futures are mixed on Wall Street. The Dow gets underway at 11,533. The S&P opens at 1,254. And the NASDAQ opens at 2,667. The Huskies, actually of University of Connecticut, UConn, beat the UCLA men's basketball collegiate record. It's now at 89. They beat Florida State last night. Coming up this hour, our series Remixing the Holidays continues with Augustine Burroughs' Dysfunctional Family Christmas Songs. Don't you love it?
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.